I said to my daughter, remember when I was born, I was 10 pounds, 3 ounces. So when I was born, my mother said to the doctor, don't slap him. I want to slap him myself.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message given by Pastor Wayne at the beginning of a new year a while back, a message entitled Four Resolutions. And no, it has nothing to do with hitting the gym and dropping a few pounds. Although that might not be a bad idea, just saying. Well, here he is with part one of a message entitled Four Resolutions.
Today, we're going to continue in our series called Divine Decisions. And that all of us have a tool available to us that applies to every decision. And the author of that is Jesus. Would you welcome him? He's here in this place. Let's worship him in spirit and in truth.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't it so great to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Sing, let the praises ring. So let his praises ring this morning. Oh, Lord, my God.
Oh, Lord, my God. In you I put my trust. You I put my hope.
Declare to hear him, church, oh Lord my God.
Oh Lord my God, in you I put my trust.
I trust in you, Father.
Oh Lord my God, in you I put my hope.
Oh,
in you I find my peace.
Join us now for a message entitled, Graduating to Wisdom. Here is Pastor Wayne.
Would you take out your notes with me? You know, sometimes we have to understand that what we see a lot of times is not as things appear. We make decisions, and it could be faulty decisions based on what we see. You know why? Because if you think about it, you do not see with your eyes. You see anatomically with your brain. Your eye is a lens through which an image is projected into the sensory perception areas of your brain, but then your brain defines what you're seeing as good or bad, fearful or not fearful, friend or foe. And then it takes a definition from the inside to define what you're seeing to then interpret that. That's why two people can see the same thing and one is fearful of it, the other says, no, it's fine. Why? Because you don't just see with your eye. You see with on the inside of you, you have a defining archive that includes your values, your morals, your beliefs, your faith or lack of it, character or lack of character, a fear of failing, a fear of not performing well. All of these have been archived inside of you. And when you see something, then you're going to define it as, uh-oh, or it's okay. You'll see one thing, you'll say, we should correct that person. Or the other is, let's just give mercy to that person. So you don't see with your eye, you see anatomically with your brain, and your heart then gives definition to what you're seeing. You've got to make sure that this part is correct. Because if this is incorrect, everything you'll see will be incorrect. Because we see with stuff on the inside. That's how you define. And so you have a problem in your marriage. You can either blow up in anger, or others will say, it's cool. Nah, we'll learn from that. It's a great lesson. Why? Because you don't hear with your ears. You hear audible sounds, and then you define what you're hearing. You make a judgment based on what's on the inside of you. So you say, how do I get that well? How do I get this right so I see the way God sees things, hear what He's hearing? Is there something that we can build in here that applies to every decision so it's rightly responded to rather than poorly reacted to? How can we get this universal heart correct? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. But I guess we're all looking for that kind of universal thing. It's sort of like men and their tools. Men and their tools. It's like a drug addiction. You notice that? You get one tool, you buy a second, you need a third, and then you need a fourth, and then you need an electric tool. And then electric is not good enough. You need an air compressed, so it's impact tools. And then you got to build a bigger garage. And then you'll notice your good cars are in the rain because your junkers are in the garage because you want to fix them. And so you just buy all these tools. It's an addiction. You know where this addiction starts from? The need to save money. That's where it started with me. It was an addiction. It cost more than heroin. I tell you, you start buying a tool, there's no end to it. I took my car out of Ford that I was driving at that time. It was in Oregon before I moved here to Honolulu, and I had a Honda motorcycle, and I wanted to fix my own car because I had just taken it into the mechanic and my brakes were going bad. It was squeaking. So the guy looked at it and said, I got to replace all your brakes. I said, how much? He said, for $189, I'll do your brake job. I said, $189? I said, I'll do it myself and save buku's bucks. So I go down to Sears, and I go to the Craftsman tool man, and I said, set me up. I want your tool set that's a basic tool set so I can do my own car and save money. So he said, okay. He said, well, what kind of car? Ford. I said, by the way, I have a Honda motorcycle, too, that I want to work on. He said, all right. So you're going to need a set of wrench or ratchets and sockets, but you'll need standard and metric because of the Honda. So you'd have to have an open-end wrenches, standard and metric, and closed box end, standard and metric. And then, by the way, you have to have a quarter-inch drive and a half-inch drive and some extensions. I said, oh, okay, all right. And is that it? No, you need vice grips, and then you need these pliers, and then you need screwdrivers. You need standards and Phillips. And then for your motorcycle, you need an Allen wrench. I said, wow, you're starting to name the tools, Phillips and Allens. I said, you have that many tools, like Hurricane, starting to name these tools. He said, oh, no, then you need hex. I said, what? He said, a hex head. I said, now you're cursing us. What is this? And he said, no, then you need all of these. And he just loads me up with tons of stuff. And then you need this and then that and this. And then he says, and then by the way, you need a toolbox. This one has wheels. So I said, okay, if that's what I need to save money. So I said, how much is all of this? $630. I said, $630. But yeah, but you can fix like anything now. So I said, ring me up. And so he took two guys to wheel the stuff to my car. Well, I got home, put it in my garage, and I just, you know how you put everything real nice and layered in the drawers? I thought, man, I am Tim the Tool Man from Home Improvement. I was so excited. So I brought my car in there, took the tire off, took the drum off, and it took me an hour and a half to try to get the springs off, the brakes. I used every tool he gave me. I even hexed it. I couldn't get the spring off. I go back to the tool man at Craftsman. I said, I can't get the stupid spring off my brake. You sold me $630 a tool. What tool does it? He said, oh, you need a brake tool. I said, a what? A brake tool. And he sells me this flat thing and then this other thing and then another thing. I said, how much is that? $39.95. I thought, good night, it's $660 worth of stuff. And so I said, okay. So I went over there, and sure enough, it worked. I got it off, finally got the new brakes on. I thought, while I got it here in my garage, I'm going to do a tune-up on it. I used every tool I could to get the spark plugs off. I couldn't get the spark plugs off. I go into Tim the Tool Man, and I said, I can't get my stupid spark plugs off. Oh, he said, you need a spark plug wrench. I said, oh, I can't believe this. I said, now I got to take off my oil filter. Oh, you need an oil filter wrench. I thought, this is getting really demonic. I said, what is going on? This is an addiction. So I'm buying all of these tools. And I said to this guy, I said, wait a minute, don't you have like a car tool? Like one tool for the car? He said, we don't make that. I said, you should. I just like a universal tool that just does everything. He said, we don't make that. So man, but that night I was watching TV and like God answered my prayer. This commercial comes on, only as seen on TV. This is cool. They said, you don't need all these ratchets. You don't need all these sockets. Just for $39.95, the all-in-one universal tool that does everything. I thought, that's it. That's it. He said, you don't need these wrenches. You don't need this. This all-in-one, I guess it has a slide thing that adjusts on any bolt. Metric, standard bolts. This all-in-one, universal, fancy-dancy, handy-dandy tool can be yours for $39.95. I ran to the phone. I want one now. Man, I got this thing in the mail. Man, I look, this is it. You know, I could not wait the next week for my car to break down. I just wanted it to break down. Never felt that way before. Just wanted it. Please, break down. Yes. Well, I went in the garage. When I pulled out, there was a drip of oil on the garage floor. I thought, yes, I can change my oil pan gasket. Yes. And then my muffler was making some noise. Yes, as I looked at, I can change my exhaust manifold gasket. Yes, and my fancy dancy, handy dandy, all in one universal tool. Well, you know, one of the things that the as seen on TV does not tell you, that in order to use this tool, because it's so big and bulky, you got to have somebody take your engine out of your car, put it on the workbench at a certain angle. For using this tool, you gotta have like an acre of room around every bolt, and somebody has to pre-loosen the bolt for you for this thing to work. But in restricted areas, I was in there and I worked for an hour and a half, and the only thing I loosened were three knuckles on my left hand, two fingertips, and forbidden words that I thought I had forgotten. I couldn't believe it. So I took this thing And I threw it in my toolbox and left it there for 2 years. Just before Anna and I moved over here, a friend of mine, I was so mad at that dumb tool. And so a friend of mine came and said, "Hey, Wayne, I'm working on my car. Can I borrow your tools?" Now, I hate letting people use my tools because they never come back. I thought, this is the Lord. So he said, "So can I borrow your sockets?" I said, "You don't need sockets. You don't need ratchets. All you need is this all-in-one fancy-dancy handy-dandy tool." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, as only seen on TV." I said, "You gotta try this. This is great." Oh, he said, "Oh, thank you, thank you." Then he left and Anna and I moved. So I haven't seen that tool since. But I have seen the guy. I saw him about 3 years later. His knuckles are all busted up, arthritis. You know what I was thinking? When man says there's a one-fit-all kind of tool, you just look, and when it's on TV, you just look at the screen and say, "You lie." But when God says, "I have a tool that fits for every decision," believe Him. Amen. Believe Him. But this tool you have to ask for, because it's on the upper shelf, not on the lower shelf. It's on the upper, and you got to ask for it. And that's exactly what James 1 says. So if you would read with me at the top of our notes together, James 1, let's read what it says here in verses 5 and 6. Would you read it with me out loud? Go. "If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. When you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." If you need what? Circle that word. If you need wisdom, you need to ask, because it's on the upper shelf. You've got to graduate to wisdom. But he says, if God gives you wisdom, be sure you use it. Be sure you use it. You've got to have the capacity to obey and use it. Because if God gives you wisdom and you don't use it, then no use Him giving you wisdom, because it's squandered. You say, "Well, what does that mean?" It means this. If God gives you wisdom, you get to know this is the right decision to make. You'll start to know this is the right thing to say. But you still have the choice of whether you want to put that into action or not. Just because you know the right thing to do doesn't force you to do it. Because God gives you wisdom to know what to do, you still have choice. And God is saying, now it's in your court. The ball's in your court. Make sure you use it. Because when you do, you will develop a reservoir of wisdom so that when you see things, you will interpret it correctly and you will make divinely guided decisions. The way you pack it into your archives is when God reveals it to you, you put it into application. And then it goes, ching. It becomes part of your being. It becomes a part of your treasure chest from which you will make other decisions. But if God tells you what to do and you don't do it, it never settles in, even though you know what to do. You see, because there's two stages of decision making, and everybody's going to start with the basic, and that is this. To start with basic decision making, this is where you have to start. Would you write down your notes there? Here's basic decision making. You need to know the difference between right and wrong. Right and wrong. If you don't know the difference between right and wrong, you won't even be able to make basic decisions. You got to know, well, wrong, okay, murder or avarice or greed or lying or cheating or punching somebody or slicing their tires or whatever it might be, those are wrong. But if you don't know if that's right or wrong, if you don't have that distinction, how are you going to even make the most basic of decisions? Punch somebody, boom, boom, boom. I don't think that's wrong. Then you're going to have a terrible time making decisions. Because in order to make some basic decisions, you have to know right from wrong. Let's read what the scripture says. Go. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do, then not do it. Yeah, the basic tools in decision making is right and wrong. Now you say, "Wayne, we got that. We got that. Okay. Then you graduate to something greater. Many times, people's relationships and marriages are broken, not because someone did something violently wrong, but a husband or wife does something that is very unwise. And so you graduate to what's wise or unwise. Would you write that in? Wise or unwise. You see, you start with what's right and wrong. You got to have that down. But then you'll graduate to what's wise and unwise, because you're not going to be doing or wanting to make decisions that are wrong, that are illegal, that are horribly unethical. You know that. But you're going to start to make decisions that are either not right or wrong, but is it wise to do that or is it unwise to do that? That's where a lot of friendships are ruined. A lot of marriages go down the slide, not because someone is violently wrong, but because we constantly make unwise decisions, say unwise things, and it destroys marriages. A guy called me, a great Christian guy, and he said, Wayne, I need your help. I need your help. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, man, I'm done. My marriage is like history. I'm roadkill. Man, I'm damaged goods. I said, whoa, what's going on? He said, oh, man, I didn't mean to do anything wrong. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I said, well, that's good. But he said, I'm finished. I'm in deep weeds. I said, stop. What happened? He unpacks this story. He says, there's a girl at my office. She's going through a problem at home. So she's telling me her woe story. Well, it's time for lunch. And I said, well, we shouldn't talk here. Come on, let's go. I'll take you to lunch. So we went to lunch at a restaurant by this river. And she told me her heart story and she started crying. I said, well, it's time to go back to work. Come on, jump in the car. And we got in the car and she just started crying and crying. So we just sat there for a while. And it's just looking at the river when there's a road in between. And so we just parked there, and then I said a few things that must have helped her. She said to me, thank you so much, she said. And she looked at me and gave me a big old kiss on the lips. And when she did, my wife drove by. I said, you are roadkill, dude. He said, but I didn't do anything wrong. I said, no, but you are dumb. He said, I know, what am I gonna do? I said, it's not my problem, dude, you're finished. No, I didn't. I said, okay, well, let's sit down. You see, even though he wasn't operating on right or wrong, he failed in the area of what was wise or unwise. I said, your lack of wisdom started at the office when you gave yourself to this instead of listening and then kind of handing her over to another sister or referring her. You took that on and went from one step to another. No, you didn't do anything wrong, but you did stuff super unwise. It took him 8 months to build trust back with his wife. And you say, that one incident? No. You see, he had been making other unwise decisions all along. So it gave their marriage a very fragile foundation at this point. Was it right or wrong? Mm-mm. It was unwise, because he didn't know the difference between wise and unwise. And if you start making unwise decisions a lot, you get demoted back to trying to figure out what's right and wrong. So you graduate to wisdom. Now, remember, when you see, oh, this person needs help, I might as well help her. Wait a minute. You have to remember. Remember that wisdom says she needs help, but you may not be the one to help her. You facilitate help. You see, the eye just says, help. But remember, we don't just judge by what we see, because our eyes don't see. It is the values and the wisdom that we have inside that will determine what we are seeing and how we will react or respond, and our decisions will be wise or unwise, not by what we see, but by what we have on the inside.
Each and every day, in every way.
God bless you. Have a great day. Give somebody a hug on your way out.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Graduating to Wisdom by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.